Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. Hope you guys are doing great. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, I've got Lakers beat writer Jovan Buha. Jovan, we have no time to waste. We have so many games. It's Wednesday, which means the NBA just dumps every single great game on this night. So we're going to first start with Nets Hawks. The Nets win 117 to 108. Kevin Durant was fantastic in this game, 32-7-5. We got to see some good moments from James Harden down the stretch. He finished with 16 points and 11 assists. Jovan, are we finally seeing the Nets that everyone was so afraid of?
I think so. I felt that this was kind of a statement game to some extent from Brooklyn, as they remain the heavy East favorites, but there's this upstart Atlanta team, right, that's on the rise. That they made a conference finals run. And I think the Nets, you know, they basically put this one away in the third quarter. And Atlanta made it interesting, in the fourth, got it down to single digits. But to me, like, if these two teams meet in the playoffs, which feels somewhat inevitable, and most likely like a conference semifinal series, it's just the difference is Kevin Durant. And how special he is. And this wasn't even a crazy game by his standards, but 32 points on 13 of 20 shooting, and just the ease with which he can attack any defender at any point on the court. But you saw tonight with the 22 threes, James Harden didn't have an efficient game, but had his 16 points and 11 assists. And this is the Nets showed up against a quality Eastern Conference foe. And some of the concerns with this group are a little bit overblown at this point in the season.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. They're 5-3. Like, their record's fine. And they played against a Hawks team that they played really well. Like, they shot the ball well from deep. DeAndre Hunter hit all six of his threes. He looked great tonight on the defensive end. And then obviously hitting all your threes makes you look even better. And then Trae Young, who had a relatively inefficient night, he was 6-22 from the field, 21 points, 10 assists, 9 boards, almost had that triple-double. Which is kind of rare for Trey. But this Hawks team is loaded. They're going to be a team that needs to be dealt with. Even a guy like Kevin Huerter off the bench played really well for them. But it's still just not enough when you stack up the talent of Kevin Durant and James Harden. And then you get great games from Patty Mills off the bench. LaMarcus Aldridge, who just emerged out of retirement, still looking pretty good for the Nets. A nice one for them. Let's move on to Philly. The Philadelphia 76ers, number one offense in the NBA, beat the red hot Chicago Bulls 103-98. They had a spectacular run in the second quarter, 15-0, which kind of gave them some distance. And the Sixers are doing this without Ben Simmons, without Tobias Harris, without Danny Green, all missing time for a variety of reasons. But do you think that perhaps all this Ben Simmons mess has brought this Sixers team possibly closer together?
I think so. And from knowing Doc Rivers, over the years, like that is one thing he is great at. He is a player's coach. He knows how to appeal to that underdog. Like, you remember that 2018-19 Clippers team that yep. overachieved, what was the 8 seed, pushed the Warriors to 6 games. Like, Doc's first season coaching in Orlando, 2000-2001, where he got that team into the playoffs as well. So Doc, I think, actually is at his best when he's coaching an underdog team versus being like the favorite in a playoff series. So I think, I'm sure he's feeding them stuff from the media and what is being said and kind of rallying that locker room. And one guy I want to quickly give a shout out to is Seth Curry, who's averaging a career high 17.1 points per game after this game. And he hasn't really assumed like some crazy high usage, which you would kind of think with some of the guys that have been out, but he's just playing more minutes and shooting even better than he normally does. But he's now led the Sixers in scoring 3 different times this season. And I think he's quickly becoming one of the more important role players in the NBA right now because of just who they're missing and kind of the way this offense functions. His shooting is really, really important for what they're doing. So I think he's been really impressive to start the season.
Another kind of under the radar pickup that they had over the summer was George Niang, who has been fantastic, a really, really nice fit for them. Moving on to the Grizzlies Nuggets game, one of the closer games of the night. The Grizzlies win 108-106. They pulled this game out. They were tied at 104 with 3:30 left in the game. Desmond Bain ends up hitting a shot with about 119 remaining to give the Grizzlies what would eventually be the lead for good. But it was in question. Jokic had a chance to win, but Jaren Jackson Jr., who is spectacular tonight, was able to defend Jokic close to the basket and fend him off and hold on to the lead. Jovan, are you a believer in this Grizzlies roster?
I'm coming around to them. I've been really impressed to start the season. It was a season-high 22 points from Jaren Jackson Jr. tonight, drilled 5 threes. And I think it's important for Memphis to establish him as the consistent number two behind Ja. I think when looking at this team from a contention standpoint, from a playoff standpoint, like, you want the ball in Ja's hands and you want the offense running through him. But I think you want JJJ as the number two. So impressive stuff from him. Obviously, defensively, you know what he's going to bring. But I think his offense can raise Memphis's ceiling. And then Nikola Jokic, I was looking it up before the pod. His numbers are right in line, if not better, than his MVP season already. And like, yep. I don't think people are really talking about that enough. But he's like, I mean, his rebounding numbers are better, career high, putting up basically the same, like shooting the ball better from the floor, shooting threes better. Like, he's just had a crazy start to the season. And, you know, again, I had a chance to win this one down the stretch, but, you know, Denver fell short.
Yeah, Jokic's line, 34-11, 5 assists, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers. He was absolutely unreal. But Jaren Jackson, man, they needed a game like this from him. He's kind of struggled to start this season, but they got 5 threes from him, 8 rebounds. 8 rebounds for Jaren Jackson feels like he got like 30, because the guy usually gets like 3 or 4 a game. So that it was good to see him step up there. And then they just get contributions up and down the roster. Bane was great tonight, 16 points, 2 boards, 3 assists. And then Kyle Anderson off the bench with 16 points. And then their young rookie, Zaire Williams, with 11 points, 3 of 7 from 3. It's good for him to show some life there as well. Let's move on to the Blazers, Cavs. The Cavs win this 107-104. Dame had a chance to tie this up, missed a 3 at the buzzer, off the dribble from the corner. Dame struggled with his 3-point shot this season. He was 3 of 12. Tonight, overall 23% from 3. Any concerns there for you? Is this going to iron itself out?
I think it irons itself out. My concerns extend to the Blazers and their start to the season. 3-5, 0-4 on the road. And if you just look at the box score, like, it's pretty much what we've kind of come to expect from the Blazers, where it's, you know, starter, the starter's got to play a lot. You're going to get most of your offense from that and not much off the bench. You know, they got a little bit from Anthony Simons with 15 points. But besides that, it's just like, this is always a top heavy team that is struggling to find that consistent support from the supporting cast. And you know what you're getting from Dame and CJ Knightley. Even if Dame's off to a slow start, I think he'll figure it out. But as you know, there was a report today from Yahoo Sports with Dame and the meeting that he took with LeBron James and Anthony Davis over the summer, and his insistence on staying in Portland and commitment to Portland. But you got to wonder, like, if this team is hanging around 500 or even below potentially, as again, they're currently 3-5, like, how long does that loyalty last? Is that, you know, forever, or is it come, you know, the February trade deadline, is Dame potentially looking elsewhere if this team is like five games under 500 at that point, which I don't think is insane based on the rest of the West and this team's roster construction.
Yeah, I agree. And also him coming out and saying like, oh, I think we could be the Suns, or I really like what happened with Giannis. Like that stuff is great. I feel like it just takes a lot of pressure off the Blazers front office. Like, oh, great. Well, he's staying. Like, you don't, they need to do something. Like, they just have to do something. They've just done a whole bunch of nothing recently, and it'd be great to see them do something. The Cavs have started well, 5-4. They're above 500 with almost 10 games in here. Jared Allen has been a monster to start this season. He finished with 24-17-4 tonight. Evan Mobley, again, continues to impress with 11-11 tonight. And then they just had a really nice attack from their guards, Colin Sexton, Darius Garland. Garland was 19-10. Colin Sexton with 21 points. Just a really nice game. And then we'll go to our final game of the night, the Warriors and the Hornets. Jovan, we were promised this big LaMelo-Steph matchup, but instead we just got all the other guys. We had Jordan Poole with 31 points. Miles Bridges was 32. Damian Lee with 15, and Gary Payton II, who really just made his presence felt almost the entire night, finished with 14-5 and three steals. What were your thoughts on this game?
Well, the Warriors held the Hornets scoreless over the final 5:23, using a 16-0 run to turn a 6-point lead into a 22-point victory. So that to me, like, it had already, it felt like Golden State was in control of the game, and then Charlotte made their run in the fourth, and it, you know, got it to single digits, and it felt like it might be a game that went into crunch time and down to the wire. But Golden State, the number two defense in the NBA right now, locked in, and I think they continue to show that this team is more than just Steph. And we know that you know, through the years, especially the last couple of years, they've really struggled when Steph has been off the floor, when he hasn't been producing at a supernova like, you know, production level. But tonight he was under the weather, had, you know, 15 points, 6 of 15 shooting. But you mentioned Jordan Poole stepping up, Damian Lee, and, you know, just stepping up with 15, and Gary Payton with 14. And I just think, we, you know, Golden State to me has been arguably the most impressive team to start the season. And they look like a legitimate threat to get out of the West, especially when thinking about adding Klay Thompson, James Wiseman to this group. Like, they're legit, and I think they're going to be right up there with the Lakers and the Suns and the Jazz as the four teams that are going to be battling it out to come out of the West.
It's hard to disagree with the West looking like it does. It looks like there's an opportunity for somebody, and if Klay Thompson looks as good as he did shooting by himself, wearing his jersey while practicing, which I like, think is a little strange, but yeah. I very much respect it. It's very on brand for Klay to do that. I love it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's fire through the rest of the scores here, and then we'll get out of here. So the Kings beat the sad, sad, sad Pelicans, 112-89. Dallas survives a back-and-forth battle with the Spurs, 109-108. The Clippers overwhelm the Wolves with their offensive attack, 126-115. Boston, oh boy, Boston gets back on track against the hapless Magic after their players-only meeting, 92-79. They were actually down at halftime to the Orlando Magic, but then turned it on third quarter, just crazy. And then finally, the New York Bing Bongs lose to the Pacers, who had a very balanced attack tonight, 111 to 98. Jovan, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks so much for joining us on the Daily Ding. Please go check out all of our podcasts right here on the Athletic NBA Show feed. And Jovan, send us out.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.